And you all laugh at that, but I'm not joking. This scripture has done me so good. When I first got saved, we went and a minister preached, used this scripture as his basis for his sermon. And by the end of the night, we could all quote that. And throughout the rest of the time, because I was an early Christian and all this stuff, I hadn't even started my ministry, I hadn't started preaching. But things would come up and I would remember this. I would be so ready to quit. Some good old Christian person would just ring me or tell me that I didn't dress right or something stupid. And I would be all distraught and I'd be like, I'm quitting. I don't need this. I don't need the aggravation. And I'd just be ready to say, forget it and push it to the side and say, I can go in the world and they'll accept me. But this scripture would always come to my mind. And I would always be like, I run in the path of your command. Not your command, your command. For you have set my heart free. So that's what we're going to learn about tonight. If everyone's there in your scripture, it's there. Some may be different. My Message Bible reads it like this. I'll run the course that you lay out for me if you'll just show me how. You see, I've told you all this story before, and it's kind of funny. I started running last spring. And I think last time I preached, I told you this story. But I had, like, Rome is built in a day with me. I have to do it, like, right then. So I wanted to run 2 miles a day. So instead of building myself up, I just go for the long haul. And behind our house, we had a park. And if you ran 3 times around there, it was a mile. So as I was running, I had my little iPod, and, you know, it was funny because I tried to dress the part like I was this big runner, and it was like my first day, so I got dressed like all the people that run, you know, that I look at out my kitchen door, and I see all these people run, so I tried to dress like them so they'd think that, you know, I'd been running for a while. I don't know, I'm stupid. Anyway, so I dressed like them, and I had my little iPod in, and I was all ready, and, you know, I went and I stretched. I did my little stretches so I didn't pull anything, and I'm sure Lee knows this, but I'm very clumsy. I will fall like 20 times, so I was like, you know, trying to act all. So I get there and I start running and I'm going up to there and I'm like, this ain't that bad. So I get through there one. And by this time, I'm huffing. I'm like, you know, and I'm a respiratory therapist, so I'm like, I need some oxygen. I was about ready to call the hospital and tell them to get a bed ready. So I'm huffing, and I'm just trudging down through there. And the whole time, my goal was to get around it 3 times. And after I'd get down one, I'd be like, I've got 2 more. And I'd keep pumping it, keep running. I'd be like, and then the next time, I was like, I've got 1 more time to get around. So once I got through there, I was like, I've got 1 mile. So then I was sitting there, and I was like, going around the next one. I've got to get around there 1 more time. And after I got around there 6 times, I'd met my goal. So I was so excited. I was dead, and I was laying there praying that someone would call Ashley because, you know, I'm like, I need a doctor. I need something. But the whole thing of it is that while I was there, God taught me a very important lesson. While I was there running, different things was going through my mind. And I was thinking about my ministry at where I was at the time, and different things was going through. And I got to thinking about my goals. And whenever I say that, I want you to think about this. This is kind of a personal thing. I want you to think about what your goal is. Because I have 2 goals, and I've already told you guys what the goals are before, but I'll share them again. I want to preach Winterfest. Winterfest is the Church of God. It's the largest youth thing that the Church of God puts on. There's like 23,000 teenagers come, and I want to preach it. And so ever since I've been, day one, I've prayed to God every morning when I get up, God, I want to preach Winterfest. So then that wasn't good enough for me. So then I go on and I found out about Planet Shakers. Planet Shakers is the largest youth conference in the world, in the entire world. There's like millions of teenagers, not probably millions, but there's a lot of teenagers come, more than Winterfest. So I get up every morning, I'm like, God, I want you to give me Winterfest and I want you to give me Planet Shakers. I want to preach them. And every morning I get up, I pray this. And I was running around that I was thinking about my ministry and everything that was going on and everything that I wanted. And I was sitting there and I was running and I thought, how many times have I wanted to give up on this? I want you to think about something that you want and how many times someone has told you you couldn't do it. Has anybody ever told you? This is an interactive thing. You can shake your head, nod. God won't strike you, I promise. Has anybody ever told you you can't do something you want to do? I have another story. I'm full of stories. My other story is whenever I was leaving for college, my brother looked at me and he told me I'm the only kid that went to college. So I was there. He told me, he said, you will never graduate. So that right there marked it. I was like, I will graduate or I will die. I will graduate or I will die trying, because that's how my brother is. So, you know, it's kind of like this little competition thing. So I was like, I will get a college degree or I will kill myself trying, because he told me that I couldn't. And the whole thing of it is whenever I was running through there that very first day, even though I had my iPod and I really wasn't listening to it because so many things was going through my head, as I was running through there, I thought about that. How many times I've wanted to give up on something God's called me to do. And he told me, I prayed day one. I was like, do you want me to go to respiratory school? And I don't know why he said jail, but as I was going through there, so many times I wanted to give up on it. I wanted to say quit. I wanted to just give it in. And I hear some of you are sitting there like, where's he going with this? I run in the path of your command. If you find out what God wants you to do, and you get in that path and you start going that way, whenever junk comes up, it's so much harder to quit. Because I'm going to be totally honest with you. There's been times since I've gotten here that I've wanted to quit. Like every Monday morning. You know, I'm just like, that was a joke. Wow. Okay. So there's been times that I've wanted to quit. But when you are smack dab in the path that God's laid out for you, it's so much harder to do that. See, this generation, these young kids, they do not know, and I'm with you because I'm still your generation. We do not know what commitment is. It is like a foreign language to us. Anything like, how many people's ever seen a cell phone commercial that they're like, no contracts? You know where I'm going? Commitment scares us to death. We're like, we cannot commit to anything. Marriage, pfft, that is nothing. It's like, oh yeah, we got married. Oh, why do you want a divorce? And what's the one that they say, anything, what is it, all the celebrities ride it, that they just can't get along? What's the term? Anybody help me out? Irreconcilable differences. But what I'm saying is, I'm not on the whole divorce, I care less, it's between you and God. I think that, God put in his words what divorce is. But the whole thing that I'm trying to show you that is that we can't commit to anything. We're scared of it. It's like whenever we get to that point, to that threshold, when God says, you need to go over, you need to take that plunge into commitment, that we can't do it. But what it is that we're running this race. We're in it and we're running. And then right after we get through that first mile, we don't want to go the second because we get almost there. And that's how it is with our Christian walk. We get almost there. We get to a point where we're getting ready to go to the next level and we get so scared that we back off. Is it not? How many times has God wanted to take you somewhere and he's like, all you got to do is fast and pray and do this. And we get there and then you walk in and somebody's got like a big steak there and you're sitting there like, oh my God, steak. And you're sitting there and you give up. What I'm trying to get us to see, everybody say, I run in the path of your command. See, this is where we get it twisted. We don't want to get it in his command. We want to get it in my command. Because trust me, if I did what I wanted to be, I would not be a youth pastor. Because at the time God called me to be a youth pastor, I didn't even like kids. I was like, you want me to do what? I was like, kids, they don't even like me. So, but the thing of it is that God had to take that path and he had to make it for me. He had to get me to where I would accept it. And that's part of the running. When I was running through there, I did not want to accept that I was out of shape. My goal in running... Yeah, because I've always been in shape. I've always played ball and stuff. So my goal with running was to get abs. I want abs. I know that sounds like a silly, stupid goal. And we went home for Thanksgiving and Ashley's and pulled out these old high school videos and I had my shirt off and I was like, I have abs. I was like, I can count them. And then I looked and I was like, where did they go? So that was my goal in getting back into running. And you may think that is the silliest goal ever, but it was important to me. Not the getting healthy thing. Ashley can preach to me all day long, you're going to die because you eat too much salt. But that wasn't important to me. It was getting the abs. That was my goal. And that was my path that I was taking. Are you getting where I'm going this evening? God is wanting to take us on a path that's going to be uncomfortable. When I was hoofing it through there, it was very uncomfortable. I didn't like it. It made my mouth dry. It made my side hurt. It made me sweat. I don't like to be dirty. So I had to take like 3 showers when I got home. It was uncomfortable. And that's what God was doing. The path that you get on will make you uncomfortable. Everybody say, I run in the path of your command. Not my command, but your command. See, that's where we're getting it twisted. We're taking it and doing it what I want. We're taking it and doing it what people want. God said in Jeremiah, the prophet said, do not fear the people's faces, did he not? We have to stop in our Christianity, and this is kind of a different thing here. We have to stop letting people dictate to us what we do. Because what we'll do is whenever we get in a place like at work and different things will be like, especially like when I worked at the hospital, we could not do anything spiritual. But at work, whenever we was there, we couldn't talk about spiritual things, you know, because they say no religion. But I had to make a choice. I had to decide whether I was going to let my workplace dictate to me what my God tells me to do, or am I going to do what God tells me to do and face the consequences. And luckily enough, I never had those consequences, but I did not change anything. If someone wanted to pray, I prayed right there in that room. Right there we prayed. I think Ashley prayed once and was speaking in tongues in somebody's room. Kind of funny, but the whole thing of it is that, see, most Christians nowadays, and I'm not, you know, patting myself on the back or anything, I'm just trying to get us to realize that we can't back down to what God has called us to do and put our Christianity on the back burner just because of a situation or a place or a group of people don't like it. That's the issue today. That's why we got these kids running around having flyer parties. Does anybody know what a flyer party is? Did I tell you all about the flyer party already? It's not a good party. That's why they're running around and STD rates is out the roof and all these things, and suicide rates are screaming. Did you know West Virginia has one of the highest suicide rates of teenagers in our nation? One of the highest. I think we're like fourth, which that was like 2 years ago I had that statistic, so it's probably changed by now. Obviously it's changed, but you know, we're like fourth in the nation for teenage suicides. That's sad. But the thing of it is that we're letting your situations dictate us. Say, I run in the path of your command, for you have set my heart free. What does it mean to be free? It means to have peace, does it not? It means to be content right where you are. We've been teaching that to these kids in children's church a lot about being content right where you are. Sometimes life gives you a bad hand. Sometimes it's not fun. But the thing of it is that when we are in the path that God's laid out for us, whenever we have given that bad hand and things have not working out, and trust me, I've been there. When you've cried yourself to sleep at night and you feel like there's no one around, you know, God says that He will be a father to the fatherless. He says there'll be a generation who has many instructors but has not many fathers. Where's that at in the Bible? Corinthians? 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 4:15. I should have asked them because I taught them that a couple weeks. So it says, I mean, He told us, He said, there'll be a generation that has many instructors but has not many fathers. He told us all this would be. And while we're there and we're feeling so lonely in the midnight hour, it's in that path that we sit there that we need that peace of God. Amen? We need that time when the bills are stacking up and you can't pay your mortgage and your house hasn't sold and anyway, that you need that peace of God. You need to know that you are right where you're supposed to be. And even though you don't understand it and you don't know why God's not moved, that He is still in control. And that will set your heart free. Amen. It will give you a peace that says no matter what's going on, no matter how bad it is or how worse it looks like it's going to get, I can be right there in the path of His command. And I can keep running and I can keep trudging even though it hurts and it's hard and I'm sweating and it's very uncomfortable. Because this generation hates to be uncomfortable. But see, this is the cool part, because you guys as the elders are what's teaching us, the younger people, to keep trudging. You're what's gotten these churches to where they are right now. And I give you honor for that, because their church would not be where it's at today. We wouldn't be able to have the freedom, especially in the church of God. And trust me, I had to take a test on this. To have kids up here moving their arms to songs with a beat and be able to preach in blue jeans and all these things. It was you that pressed forth that said, I'm not going to let religion be my path, but I'm going to let God be my path. Amen. You are the ones that says it's not about tradition. It's not about any of this. It's about what God says to do. And if God says to do it, you have to be there. It's in that path, that command, and that running that will keep you to set your heart free. Tonight's very simple. It's nothing elaborate, no, you know, big theological thing. I want it to be real simple because I want to share with you guys my heart tonight. My heart is that I want this generation to be like that. At my last church, we tried to teach these kids, we tried to disciple them, that no matter what, when any situation comes up, that they at least thought about God. Whether they went the right way or not, we tried to be not judgmental on them. If they made a mistake, we didn't say, oh, well, you're going to go to hell now because you messed up. It's not about that, because God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. But I want them to think about this while they're on that run. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if you're 921 years old in this building, and I don't think anyone is. If you have breath in you, God still has a plan for you. He still has a calling. He still has anointed you. I don't care where you've been. The Bible says if you've made your bed in hell, He says, I'm right there with you. It doesn't matter what you did, because once you come to this altar and you pray, that one drop of blood wipes away a multitude of sin, the Bible says. And when you do that and you come and you make Him your Savior, He is just that. He saves you. But when you get up, that's when you become a Christian and you make Him your Lord. What is a Lord? A Lord is someone who teaches you and tells you where to go and what to do, and they take care of you. It's in that you get that freedom, that heart free. Because what He's done is the enemy's taken it and He's twisted it to where this generation has no commitment. We don't know what it is. There's no truths anymore. I think Pastor preached a couple weeks ago here about there's no absolute truth anymore. That people we have to decipher it and take it down. All that junk needs to end, because with this generation, I want them to know that while they're on the path, that they know that God's called them to do something, and He has. Some of you young people in here standing up here singing, one day you may be a worship leader. One day you may be a youth pastor. You may be a teacher. You may be a janitor at a church. But if you do it with a joyful heart, and that's what God's called you to do, and you do it, He will have you peace that surpasses all understanding. You'll have a free heart, and you'll run it like never before. That's what I want for you guys. I want you guys to know, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens in your life, as long as you're in that path and you know it, you'll have that peace and that freedom. Amen. Tonight, I want you guys to repeat this scripture with me before, and I want you to listen to what the psalmist says in this. Say, I run in the path of your command, for you have set my heart free. Tonight, I want you guys to realize that free heart that we want, that we're talking about, that He's talking about, it is a process. It's called sanctification. It's called living a holy life, and we know all about that. But the whole thing of it is that what I want you to get is that while you are running that path and you are trudging through there in His command, you have to stay in His command. You have to stay to where you follow God no matter what. And I'm going to share this with you, and it's not being, I don't want you to think that all I can share with you is my life experience. God told me and us to leave a church that was growing under us very largely. It was growing. Things were busting at the seams. Things were going so awesome. And He called us to get up one day, like it was just out of the blue. He told us to move to Huntington, West Virginia, to a place that I didn't even have a church, knew nothing about Huntington, and told her to go be an intern at a hospital she'd never even went to, never even seen. Didn't even know they had a pediatric program. And I'm not saying this in a boastful thing, but that is scary. I was like, you want me to what, God? I'm like, are you crazy? Everything's going good. Everything, you're blessing this. And you want me to up and leave. That's kind of hard sometimes. And I'm not saying that, you know, we begrudge it, because we're loving it here. And that's the thing. We've got freedom here because we're in God's command, because He called us to come here. But the thing of it is that what I'm trying to show is, at first, sometimes when God gives you a command or you start walking in that path, it looks plumb crazy to you. My family was like, you're going where? And she doesn't have a position, and you haven't sold your house, and you're living in someone's basement. And they're like, you're what? So to them, it looked totally retarded. But to us, it was like, we have to do this. And we were excited about it. And we were joyful about it, because we knew that God was in it. And when you do that, you'll have the joy. I'm so tired of looking around and Christians, like people say, oh, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, you are? Because they're so depressed and they're so down. And they're like, you know, it makes me think, oh, I want to run to a graveyard, because there's more life there than they are with you. Because the thing of it is we're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to be excited. The joy of the Lord cometh in the morning. Amen. The whole thing of it is that I'm so tired of looking out at the church and seeing that. When if we would get in His commandment and get in the calling that He's called us to, we would have the joy, we'd have the free heart, and everything would not be daisies and roses, but we would be excited, and we'd be happier, and we would trudge through it even harder and faster and quicker. We wouldn't go kicking and screaming. And I say all this because I want you guys to get this. I want us, this church, I want us that this would be like something that we get as we get ready to go into the divine experiment. I keep wanting to call it the great experiment. Anyway, the divine experiment. It's going to be great. The divine experiment. Because if we go in it with this, as we go in it not like, oh, we're shutting down our churches and we have to go pray with a bunch of people we don't even know. If we go in it with that attitude, you're going to come out of it with that attitude. Amen. But if you go into excited and know that this is the path that God has called for Huntington, for a whole region. And if we go in it with a joyful heart, God will show up and He'll be in the midst. Amen. In closing this evening, I know that this has kind of been different, but I hope that tonight that we can actually get what the psalmist was really saying. He wasn't trying to tell us one scripture to read through. Psalm 119 is pretty long. To try to just kind of breeze over and skip over. But he was trying to teach us that we have to change our lifestyle. And this one little scripture, if you read that, I run in the path of your command, for you have set my heart free, my heart free, my heart free. In that he was trying to tell us, that is a formula for a lifestyle to change. That as you're running this race, just like the little video said, as you're running and you're trudging through it, and then sometimes it's horrible and sometimes it's not fun, as long as you stay in the path of his command, you stay right in his calling, right in his commandments, right in all that, he'll set your heart free. And you'll be happier, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be so much nicer to me. No, I'm just playing. It's a joke. Anyway, you'll be a nicer person. But in that one little scripture, that in one Psalm 119, I've probably read a zillion times, he gave us a formula to change our lives right there. With every head bowed, every eye closed. In closing tonight, I want you guys to get to where we get to a place. If you could play, put on some music, Pastor, do something. I want us to get to a place that we long for God to set our heart free. And in that, you got to find your commandment. And a lot of these kids here recently has been asking me, how do I hear the voice of God? If you want to hear the voice of God, you have to have a relationship with Him first. Amen? And the first step to that relationship is repentance. I don't care if you've come into this church every day of your life and every time these doors are open and you sit down, unless you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you will still die and go to hell. Whether you've been in church every day of your life until you say, God, I've missed the mark. I've failed. I've missed it. I've messed up, oh God, and I need your forgiveness. I need you to come into my heart and save my soul. Once you do that, then this next step is so much easier. Because once you do that, you'll start hearing the voice of God. Once you start reading the scriptures and you start becoming into a relationship with Him. A relationship is just that once you meet someone, you build a relationship, you get to know them. You get in this Word and you learn who Jesus is and why He chose to die for you. Once you do that, then this will be so much easier to stay in His command and to have your heart free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as a Savior, but as a Lord, I invite you to come to this altar. It's not this altar, the church has made the altar a status. It's not about that anymore. It's a place where you come and you say, I've messed up, God. I've missed the mark. But not only that, it's come to where you get healing. You get freedom. You get all these awesome attributes that God is saying, I want to give you, I want to change you, I want to make you into something so much better than you were 5 minutes ago. If you want that, I promise I invite you to step out. If you take the first step, Jesus will take the next one with you. If anyone's here and you do not know the Lord and you want to say, just pray for me, I'm not ready to make that step, I ask that you just raise your hand for me. And we'll pray for you, and we'll pray, and we'll continue to pray that God will continue to give you the opportunity. And if you're here tonight and you've been saved and you feel like you've messed up or you just want a closer relationship with God, I want you to come to these altars. God is pleading to you. He says, I want you to come and set and let God hold you. These altars are open. I'm going to count to three, and I want everyone who wishes to come and pray to come. On the count of three. One, two, three. Awesome Heavenly Father, Lord God, every person in this building under the sound of my voice, Father, I pray that you touch them, that you flow through them, oh God, that you give them blessing and honor, oh God, that you, oh Father God, that you make them the head and not the tail, just as you promised. Father God, Lord, we come and we ask that, Father, you would be our Lord and Savior. Father God, that you would give us the strength to run this path that you laid out for us. Father God, that you would set our heart free as we run this race for the prize. Father God, we praise you. We lift you up and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These altars are open. If you want to come and just pray and feel the Spirit of the Lord, they're open.